Hey, you, is your league rocking that same tired fantasy trophy they gave out to millennials like Grandma's Butterscotch? Trophy Smack destroys the competition! Finally, there is a unique and customizable fantasy sports trophy to represent your hard-earned victory. With Trophy Smack Swap Top, you have the ability to change the trophy top every year. The league winner keeps their topper and plaque to remind them of what it takes to be number one. We also sell rings, championship belts, and gift cards. Still not sold on Trophy Smack? Take a real customer's word for it.
It's clearly the best trophy on the planet. I bought the Trump topper and wow, doesn't that topper look like a winner?
Oh, I almost forgot. Last year in my fantasy league with UPS, I won a bet for free lifetime shipping. So, you're welcome for that. Take your fantasy smack talk to the next level. Visit TrophySmack.com to buy your trophy today.
What's up and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in season or off season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. I'm your host, Doug. I am here with Tim and Tyler this week, the Triforce is back in effect, and we have a special guest. We have our friend Angelo is here, also known as Angelo FF. I think that's his legal last name, if I believe. Is that correct, Angelo?
Definitely not.
Okay. I was like, that's we'll a really short last purposes. Name, like Angelo FF. Like, that's
actually, it's pronounced
Angelo. Oh, geez. We're off the rails already. So, Angelo, welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, your history of playing Dynasty Fantasy Football, and rep anything you got going on. And I also want to know this. I want to know your all-time favorite fantasy football player. So go.
Okay. Awesome. Well, first of all, thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it. I follow all your guys' work, so it's a pleasure being on. So for me, I do a lot of movement-based threads. I work in human performance and biomechanics, so I'm a big nerd when it comes to that type of stuff, and I've always had a passion for football from a young age. So I try to kind of dissect what's kind of happening on the field of play and how players problem solve. But yeah, I do a lot of different types of threads, like I said, on like running backs, receivers. I have a Y series that comes out every week that's based around a new a player from this class. Like, I think the one I just released today was
Dobbins.
YJK Dobbins. Yeah, Dobbins. Yep. And so next week will probably be Y Henry Ruggs. That'll be a fun one. But yeah, so I like doing that type of stuff. It's a lot of fun. It's great to engage with a lot of great people. But for my favorite fantasy player of all time, it's got to be Chris Johnson.
All right.
Has to be. I mean, Just watching him. I mean, when he had that 2,000-yard season, man, watching him just
that was a magical rip year. Off
big run after big run. I remember, God, I don't know who it was against, but it was a home game in Tennessee, and I remember he probably broke off like two or three 40-yard runs in that game, and he had one that was like 65, 70 yards.
I think he had like a 4-touchdown game that week.
Yeah. And he got the end zone, and he threw up everywhere. I remember that vividly.
He pulled a Donovan McNabb.
I was like, what is going on? But he was just such a joy to watch as a player, and he's such a unique athlete in terms of what he brought to the table on the field.
Awesome. And just so everyone knows, you can follow Angelo at Angelo _ fantasy. And I have to say, I am a big fan of when anyone on Twitter has their own logo, so props for that.
Hey, I just got one too. We're twinsies.
Yeah, and I got my De Fantasy Father one that Mark made, like – Elite. Tim, where's your logo at? You need one.
I don't want a logo, especially anything like Tyler's.
Tyler calls me the Prince.
Tyler's reminds me of when Prince turned himself into a symbol.
I
understand it. It does
say
TG.
That was a cool-looking guitar, though.
You know, hey, it's neat. But
Prince is the man.
Oh, his guitar that looked like a symbol? Yeah.
Yeah, he turned to I think he played it at the Super Bowl.
In the rain. In the rain. With lightning.
One of the best Super Bowl performances.
And then he had that sheet come up, so it looked like it was Dick.
Yes. Prince. I miss Prince. Not going to lie.
He was so good.
He was awesome. So this week,
We're going to do a little bit of fantasy news because there has been some happenings in that space. And we're also going to do a combine recap because guess what? The last 4 days, we had the NFL combine. So there's a lot of things moving in that space as well. So we're going to recap some winners, some losers, some overall thoughts, and things like that. So if you boys are ready, let's get into some fantasy news. Insert cool noise drop here like a do-do-do-do-do-do-do. No, we don't do that here. I can do it just organically. So first bit of fantasy news. Austin Hooper is set to hit the open market. The Atlanta Falcons came out and said that they're going to let him test free agency, that they're not going to franchise tag him at all, which immediately brought up a lot of interested teams, potential suitors. Yeah, especially Tyler because, like, you know, Eric Saubert's not walking through that door to replace him. Sorry.
He's a Patriot now.
Patriot legend, by the way, Eric Saubert. They gave up a draft pick for him. That was awesome.
Yeah, you guys the Falcons don't do good trades. I mean,
I don't even want to talk about the Muhammad Sanu thing. Like, get out of here. So anyway, potential suitors for Austin Hooper. The rumors have been New England, which I don't see happening. They can't afford him. Green Bay, Washington, Arizona, and Chicago. So Spotrac is estimating that he's going to get about $10 million a year. Mm. Last year, Austin Hooper, I think, was the tight end five or six.
He's tight end one before he got hurt. So
he was, yeah. 75 receptions, 785, and 6 touchdowns. So Tyler, this is a Falcon, a former Falcon. Maybe he resigns. What do you think is in the cards here for Austin Hooper? Where would you like to see him land in the fantasy landscape?
Well, I don't like any of these teams, really. I mean, we looked at the awkward video yesterday of Tom Brady with Julian Edelman talking with him.
Oh my God,
he's coming back. He's coming back. And Tom looked so uncomfortable. And he's
let
just
him
like,
go.
And
let
he's
him
just like,
go.
I'm not. Like, it was like, it Hi, was Tom. Almost like Edelman looked at him and was like, I love you. And Tom's like, not
Oh, there's
happening,
definitely but. An element of the man crush between those two, by the way. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if there's been, like, handsiness.
This is getting really weird.
Wow.
But no.
Just saying.
The awkwardness of that video, like, I felt weird watching Tom's face just like, this is.
Yeah, he looked completely uncomfortable in that moment.
Yes. And I don't know if it was because he was more like, okay, you're ruining my upper hand. You're ruining this for me. Or if it was more like,
I'm
actually
Or maybe Julian
not.
Had a lower hand.
God. So with what we have on here for suitors, like, honestly, I would like Dallas, but with their cap situation, I don't know if they'll be able to afford them. Maybe they do. Maybe they find out a way to not sign the corner.
It's Blake Jarwin season, bro.
Yeah.
Like on that list, I'd say Washington, Arizona, probably the best two landing spots here.
Not Arizona. I don't know.
No one's going to replace Charles Clay, guys. Come on.
I mean, Arizona wouldn't be too bad with Bruce Arians out. But Chicago, if Trubisky... Like, okay, say this. Trubisky sucks. I mean, I'm just saying that in general. But say they do get this Dalton trade done and Dalton goes in. I would love Hooper in Chicago then.
100% agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Cut Trey Burton's useless.
By the way... Andy Dalton going to Chicago is sneaky awesome. I love
it. I think
that
Mariota move. I think it's going to be Dalton or Mariota.
Either way, that works better than Trubisky for the tight end. Like, Mariota loved the tight end, and Andy Dalton is actually a good quarterback.
Yeah. He's serviceable. I mean, that's all.
Whoa,
that's all they need.
Give him more credit than that. He's good.
Serviceable.
I don't know about good, but
I would say serviceable would be. Like, I'd say he's average.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that's
so what's
fine.
Trubisky then? What's Trubisky then? If Dalton's average,
way below serviceable.
I would say he's below average.
Yeah, I'd say he's below average NFL. I mean, the thing is, he's actually, like, talent wise, like his physical attributes, very talented kid.
So with that said, we're talking quarterbacks. So let's talk about another quarterback that used to be an elite level option. So in Carolina, new coach Matt Rhule said he stands behind Cam as the starter in Carolina. Now, Cam's got a $21 million cap hit, but there's only $2 million in dead cap, so it makes it extremely cuttable if they wanted to do that. So back in 2018, Cam was a back-end QB1. He was a QB12, and he did have some injuries that year. He's currently QB23 in DLF ADP, which to me screams buy because I still, you know, Cam, I think, is 31 years old. You know, he was an elite top five option for a lot of years. Now, I know he's had some injuries, but if you can get him cheap and on a bounce back, awesome. So, Tim, I'm going to go to you on this one because I also want to know if you have – do you think this is a smokescreen for them to, like, put confidence in Cam, but they still might trade him? And do you have any interest in Greer or Kyle Allen at all moving forward in, like, if you're in a super flex league and you're trying to buy one of these guys because he might be the guy? I know you're a Greer fan, so that's why I'm going to put this one on you.
Yeah, I would say I still have a little bit of interest in Greer. Definitely took a stock hit last year in his playing opportunities. But, yeah, I think I've heard that Carolina's not getting the interest that they thought they might in a possible trade.
Yep, that's what I heard,
too. And like you said, so they're just going to kind of keep him around until he's completely healthy. They can possibly show off the fancy quarterback to other teams and see if there's any sort of market at that point. But, yeah, as of right now, Carolina, I think, feels forced to try to keep him. And you did mention that, you know, the $2 million dead money hit still makes him cuttable, but they're not going to get anything out of doing that.
They have
that.
A lot of cap too. So
here's what I think might happen with Cam. I think that he goes into the season as a starter. And if we see the amount of injuries like we did last year at the quarterback position
before the trade deadline came,
So it might be one of those things where like opportunity might knock the hardest during the season for a team. And I think that if like, hey, if there's not enough suitors there and they don't want to get the price, then if a team needs a player, like that's when they're going to pay the most. So that might be part of what they have at play for Cam as well.
I completely agree. Going at QB23, you would have to expect some sort of balance. He should produce at a higher level than QB23.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
So at that price, 100% a buy. If you can get him that cheap in a trade, 100% do it.
Yeah, in a super flex league, you think you could probably get Greer for a fourth and Allen maybe for like a late third at this point, like when we get close to draft season.
Yeah,
yeah, probably.
Okay, so Angela, I'm going to give you this next one because I'm only fair to give you each one. So the Browns say they're going to tender restricted free agent Kareem Hunt, and that's going to cost $4.66 million in 2020. So what I want to know is, does this affect Nick Chubb's value if he is back? And is he a target for 2020? So if he's back with the Browns, are you buying into targeting him in fantasy, knowing that he might only be there for 1 year? And if he is there for 1 year and no one else gives him a tender, do you think he's going to get another starting gig like after that? Do you think he could be like he was for Kansas City again?
Yeah, I think so. I think the most intriguing part about this is what kind of happens in 2020. You know, what does their split look like? New coaching staff. And it's interesting because, you know, Stefanski primarily uses a single back, like Dalvin Cook, right? So I'm interested to see what their split looks like. This obviously hurts Nick Chubb's value because Kareem Hunt is a talented running back. He's not, in my opinion, not as talented as Nick Chubb, but he's a talented back that after the 2020 season, he can probably earn a starting job somewhere. And I think he's a guy that you would probably want to buy at the end of the 2020 season and not now, because he's gonna have value right now in PPR formats. I think he's gonna be their primary pass catching back. He's been good in that role, especially in Kansas City. But Nick Chubb's value just takes a hit in the interim. I mean, he's one of the best pure runners in the NFL, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
But I don't think, you know, his touchdown potential isn't, you know, it's not going to be what it could be without Kareem Hunt, but he can still put up, you know, an RB11 performance, I think, RB10. Mm-hmm. I mean, anything higher than that, I don't know, because the pass catching upside is zero to none with Kareem Hunt still in town.
Yeah, I would actually go after Kareem Hunt now as opposed to waiting. Because I think if you wait till after the 2020 season and he's a free agent, unless they sign him to a long-term deal, obviously that could happen.
Right.
But if they just sign him to the RFA, he's there for 1 year for $4.6 million. Like, I think he's talented enough that in 2021, like, he'll be a starter somewhere. So I think getting him now where he's going to share time, he's not going to be quite as valuable. Whereas if he goes to, like, say, Miami or something as a free agent in 2021, like, he could be a 20-touch guy pretty easily. in an offense that, you know, just saying, I'm just using Miami as an example, but he could land in a really good spot. So I think his price would go up a lot if that were to happen. So I'd take a chance on him now as opposed to waiting, just my personal philosophy. And that's why.
Well, even in deeper leagues last year, once he came back from suspension, he was semi, you know, he was at least a flex option for you.
Right. Yeah, like he was usable every week. Yeah. Like, yeah, if you need, if, and especially in like, you know, your standard PPR leagues, absolutely. So we're going to get back to a little bit of quarterback talk. So Mike Mayock wanting to move on from Derek Carr, and he was quoted as saying, every position gets evaluated every year, and if we can upgrade it, we will, which is like, hey, Tom Brady, come to Vegas. So the Raiders save $13.6 million if Carr is moved. They have the 12th overall pick in 2020. So I'm going to go to you, Tyler. Do you think I almost called him David. Do you think Derek Carr is a starting quarterback in 2020? And if he is, who's it going to be for?
I just think the Raiders want to go somewhere else. And
they're going to Vegas.
The thing is, I could see the Raiders taking
come on. You didn't even play into that one.
I could I'm avoiding it. I could see the Raiders going with a Jordan Love at, you know, 12. Mm-hmm. Or going
really?
Or going with a, I can't see him taking Eason. So I would say if they don't trade up to go get Isaiah Simmons, who is a monster among men.
Beast.
I mean, him and Akuda Matata are probably like the two best players in this draft.
Yeah.
Tim, you got nothing?
No. I'm letting that one alone.
Okay. Akuda Matata. But I just feel like they're not happy, and I do feel like they want something different. They want change because I don't think they believe Carr can push them to the level to win a Super Bowl, and I think that's what
Yeah, he's like a three-cylinder Metro, and they need like a V8.
Yeah, I mean, Carr has his struggles. He's a good quarterback. I think Dalton's a better quarterback after we were just talking about the good to serviceable quarterback. And I mean, Carr's probably better than Trubisky.
I mean, that's not saying
exactly. Exactly. But Carr, I do think, is a starter in the league. The issue is there's so many free agents right now. There's so many, like, there's three rookies.
The quarterback landscape could really get shaken.
Yeah, I mean,
this year. Yeah.
I personally think there's four quarterbacks in this draft that will become starters, and it's Love, it's Herbert, Tua, and of course,
if you threw Derek Carr into this free agent class of quarterbacks, where do you put him though?
With Teddy?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd probably put him neck to neck with Teddy.
Yeah, Drew Brees.
Okay. Rivers.
I mean, the thing is, like, I think with Carr is he had an elite stretch of play.
Yeah.
Before his injury.
He was an MVP talk that year.
He was an MVP candidate.
He and Tommy.
And I mean, obviously, I think Mayock and Gruden want their own guy.
Yep.
And that wasn't Carr. They inherited him, right? So
Del Rio, I think.
I think.
That was the, yeah.
Yeah, it was. I think it was Del Rio's staff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think they go a different direction, whether that's in the draft with a guy like, you know, with Love. I think that's an interesting one for me. I think they could, I guess, go grab him.
Especially with how he showed in the combine. I think a lot of teams felt
Could he go start for the Chargers if they take, like, Herbert and have Herbert kind of sit behind him for half the season?
I think Herbert's better right now.
That's Easton's sixth job to lose.
Herbert's better right now than Carr.
I think a contender – a potential contender would take Carr.
Maybe Carr becomes a backup.
I could see him playing for the Pats.
Yeah,
to be honest,
I could say the Patriots. Yeah. Yeah. The Patriots. I could all see Chicago.
Yep.
Yeah. Chicago.
I'm a Bears fan.
All three of the Florida teams.
I think. Yeah. I think, you know, I mean, I think the Bears are in a situation now where it's, you know, Hicks isn't getting any younger. Mac isn't getting any younger.
They have no cap space.
Yeah.
They have no cap space. They're wasting. You know, I mean, they're wasting their defense's prime and. They're going to do something, whether it's Dalton,
Trubisky's
Carr,
got that Carr be difficult. Smile on the sideline.
Mariota makes sense, too.
Yeah.
But I think the one that we're not thinking about is Alex Smith there.
Oh. You know?
I mean, as a
Stanky-like.
I mean,
Stanky-like.
obviously, we don't know what he's like after his multiple surgeries. His literally life.
You've seen Forrest Gump, right? Like right when he get right when he gets out of
the brace becomes
flying off, and he's running to the stadium. Yeah, that's Alex Smith.
Jenny.
Oh, I thought he was making a Lieutenant Dan reference. I was gonna say, was it that bad? Was it?
Great movie.
Either way,
Lieutenant Dan, yeah, ice cream.
Oh my god,
Lieutenant Dan. You don't have any legs.
Oh, poor Alex Smith.
Yes. All right. Yes. I think Derek Carr is a starter in the league. It'll be interesting to see.
I mean, the thing with Alex Smith, he just got to get his foot in the door.
Oh, jeez.
Yes.
Needs a leg up on the competition.
Oh, boy. All right. Last bit of news. I want to throw this one to Tim. So it looks like AJ Green, as of this moment, the Cincinnati Bengals are going to tag him, which is a total Bengal move. But with that said, Tim, if AJ Green returns to the Bengals and you're a contender in Dynasty, what are you paying for AJ Green to acquire him?
Oh, if I'm a contender, I'm going to offer up my second and hope they take it. They're probably not going to take it. I don't know if I'm willing to pay that first, so maybe I throw something in with my second to hopefully get AJ Green.
Okay.
But yeah, you kind of mentioned this is a Bengals move. I think they believe that AJ Green has a market available, and he probably does
for a handful
of teams. So they're going to attempt to tag him and then trade is what I would expect. I do think he put something out on social media back in like January, February, saying that using a tag on him wouldn't be the best move, but
that could be an ugly situation. Options.
Yeah.
I think very well could.
Yeah. I mean, you walk through antique shops and you see that one overpriced item. I mean, everyone has them. So AJ Green's that for
it's
the Bengals.
It's usually like the Coca-Cola cooler.
Yeah, like
from like 1970,
so
it was like $500, and you're like, dude, it keeps ice cold.
It still it sells like some mold on it and stuff.
Like some rust. It's really not healthy to use.
Yeah, it literally has the sign on the tag like "Do not actually use."
It's just for display purposes only.
Yep.
Yeah. So you know, AJ Green, we talked about him as far as what his price goes, and you know, it'll be interesting if he does get the franchise tag, because there's a newer site out there which is pretty awesome, and it's called Dynasty Owner. It's the ultimate dream for those who love Dynasty fantasy football and the business side of sports. Now the reason for that is Dynasty Owner is the only patented fantasy sports game that combines Dynasty fantasy football with actual NFL player contracts. So if AJ Green gets tagged and he's making $15 million, that's exactly what is going to count towards your salary cap when we're talking about Dynasty Owner. So they don't use make-believe or demand-based contracts or salaries like we've seen with some of the other sites. They use the actual NFL player contracts and salaries. So if Tom Brady is going to get $30 million from another team, guess what? He's going to be expensive on your Dynasty team, and you don't really want that. You want that cheaper option, maybe that Derek Carr. There's no offseason in Dynasty Owner, just like every other Dynasty site. The rookie draft matters that's coming up. Free agency matters even more than your regular leagues. And just every contract matters, whether it's an extension, someone gets picked up as a free agent, and they sign a cheap deal. Like, if you get that guy and he becomes the next, you know, undrafted Philip Lindsay, like, he's going to cost you nothing, and he's going to produce, like, a rock-solid RB2 with maybe a little bit of upside. So that's the fun part of playing on Dynasty Owner. So make sure you check that out. It is dynastyowner.com. You can start your own dynasty. You can come join for the 2020 season. They've got mocks going on. They're going to have the app up very soon in the Apple Store as well as Android. Rookie drafts are coming in May. There's weekly prizes, seasonal prizes, and you can compete and chase for the ring. So a lot of really cool stuff. So make sure to head over to dynastyowner.com today and check it out. So let's get into some combine talk, because that's been what's hot in the streets. I know I've been trying to catch up on Twitter, and there's just a lot of content out there from people chatting about the combine, which I love, like comparisons and RAS scores or RAS. I don't know. It's RAS. I don't know. But just seeing some of the charting, you know, you got the Spark scores starting to come in. Lots of really, really exciting stuff. So we're going to start the combine recap with some injuries, because it seems like there's been way more injuries this year than we've seen before. So I want to start with Florida wide receiver Van Jefferson. He has a Jones fracture in his right foot. We all know that that is typically not a good injury for a wide receiver. You can see Dez Bryant, Julian Edelman, all those receivers. Julio Jones has had a Jones fracture, ironically. It looks like he's going to miss 6 to 8 weeks. And he'll be 24 in July, and he's a day two prospect. Any thoughts on Van Jefferson at all? Other than he's injured and that might affect his draft stock.
I mean, the fact that he's like 38 years old already doesn't help. He was a very old prospect.
He's like the Cooper Kupp coming out.
Older, I think, than Cooper Kupp was. So that does not help with the injury. He killed the Senior Bowl. He did everything he could to positive, you know, bring up his draft stock. But other than that, everybody wanted to see him run. They wanted to see, okay, how fast is this guy? And they weren't allowed to see it. You're not going to be able to see it. So it's going to be tough. I think he'll get drafted, but I don't think he's going to be. I think the highest he could be is like a fifth round pick. And
okay,
and I mean, would you want to take him in a dynasty draft, fourth round?
I think teams paid attention to that Senior Bowl, and Tyler's right. He did have a very good Senior Bowl week, so I think that a team's going to lean on that as their as their athletic testing because they got to see him out there.
So he could come out as a value when it comes to rookie drafts.
Yes.
Okay. I think another value, too, is going to be Thaddeus Moss, the tight end out of LSU, the son of Randy Mouse. He also has a Jones fracture in his foot. He's going to miss 6 to 8 weeks. Now, I think this tight end group is kind of interesting. I actually thought it would test better than it did. You know, we have one elite, potentially elite option when Alfred Ukubagaboom.
Boo, Cole Clement.
Well, I'm just saying, like, he tested out of the building, and, like, his scores were all really good. Yeah. And there was there was some other tight end performances that I thought were good. You know, the thing with Thaddeus Moss is, you know, there's the name recognition. He played for LSU, big lights. He had a great championship game. I don't know how he's going to transition as a pro. I'm really interested in him.
The issue with
So I think that makes him a day two to three prospect.
Yeah. I mean, the main issue with him is he's 6'1". Like, he's 6'1", some change. So he's a shorter tight end. He's going to be more
like Delanie Walker?
Yeah, that's going to probably what he's going to be.
Or like an Irv Smith?
An H-back style. Like, Irv Smith is bigger than him. Like, Thaddeus Moss, though, has the ball skills to succeed. And that's what's going to matter. I think Moss is going to be more of a weapon. Maybe almost like a Kyle Jeselnik, whatever his name is.
Anthony Jeselnik? What?
No.
He's going to be a stand-up comedian?
Kyle Juszczyk.
Yeah, why did my mind go there?
Check yourself before you wreck yourself, Tyler.
All right. But yeah,
that's a DOS Effects reference for all your kids out there.
I think that's how he could be used in an offense because he does have really good ball skills. And yeah, I mean, from what I hear is he's a really good worker. He works his ass off to get... He's going to be working his ass off to get back in 6 to 8 weeks. So I do think he is he could have been like a third round pick. Now he'll probably be more of a fourth or fifth round pick to a team. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think I completely agree, Doug. He's going to be a very good value in rookie drafts.
Gotcha. Yeah. So the next player I want to talk about is Laviska Shenault, who a lot of people are really high on out of Colorado. He's going to be out with a core muscle injury. He's out 4 to 6 weeks. He has a lengthy injury history. So, Tim, where do you think he falls in rookie rankings? I think he was probably going into the combine possibly a fringe late first, early to mid second.
Can I tell you where I have him?
Tyler has him at the end of the second.
24.
Okay. Oh, my goodness.
All right. So, yeah. Tim, where does he fall in your rookie rankings?
I have him at 14. You know, the injuries concerns do scare you a little bit. You know, Colorado's not known for their receiving core and the receivers they put out in the NFL necessarily. I can't necessarily explain why Tyler has him that low.
I did not like his tape. I wasn't a fan of his tape. He's very, very team specific. Like, if he landed in the right team, yeah, I'm going to bump him up. But, man, he needs to land in the right situation to be at his full potential. If not, he's going to be like a 700-yard receiver with like 5 or 6 touchdowns. I mean, that's okay, but give me more of an upside player like a Michael Pittman. Give me Chase Claypool, who I think is going to be of a move tight end now because he's freaking a monster. We'll talk about him in a bit. And, yeah, I mean, even give me the quarterbacks in a one-quarterback league. just to have the position value. I don't know. I just like Cole Kmet. I like better than him. I didn't like the tape. His injury history scares the crap out of me. I mean,
yeah.
How many red flags do you need? And yeah, just the team specificness of his style of play.
I'll be honest. I thought he was going to run fast in the 4.58, but
he wore a baggy T-shirt. I mean, that was
it's the hair, man. I can't get behind the wide receivers with long hair anymore. I just can't. Sammy Watkins, I'm looking at you. Even though you cut your hair, still can't get behind it. So I'm going to move on to another receiver, and this one's going to go to Angelo. So Bryan Edwards broke his foot while training for the combine. This is a player a lot of people really like. So he's got a 2 to 3 month recovery timetable. I think this. Him breaking his foot, not being at the combine, is going to open up a really, really nice value depending on his draft capital. So, Angelo, tell me a little bit. Do you like Bryan Edwards? And do you agree with me that that opens up, like, he could be a potential, like, screaming value come rookie draft time?
Yeah, 100%. You hit the nail on the head in terms of value. I think he's the one guy in this class that we're going to kind of forget about. And I think he's going to be a guy that gets drafted a little lower than we would have liked to have seen, obviously, because of the injury. But especially like in rookie drafts, I mean, he's a guy you could take in the mid to late second round and feel great about it. I mean, he's, in my opinion, was a top five wide receiver talent in this class. But with the injury, obviously, we don't know timetable and how he's going to react after. But the talent's there. I think he has some of the best ball skills in the class. And similar to like a guy like Chenault in terms of value. I know, Ty, you're not a fan of Chenault. But for me, man, Chenault was my favorite offensive player of the whole class.
Wow.
I think he's the most unique player in the class in terms of how he wasn't used. He wasn't used as a traditional receiver. He wasn't a traditional X. He didn't do anything, essentially, that you would have liked to have seen from a wide receiver coming out of college. But the one thing he did do was he had dominant stretches of play, and he was able to play tight end, running back, wildcat quarterback, and he showed the talent to go and get the ball, and he has the natural ball skills to grow into a really good player. And I think I'm intrigued by him because of the discount, but I am afraid of the injury. We could see it, you know, see another Kevin White situation where that completely wrecks his career, or we could see a guy that is a true value in the middle second round or so. But yeah, I mean, both those guys are players I'm definitely trying to buy right now, and I think Chenault is kind of being put into like an unfair label of, you know, he's injury prone, he can't do XYZ, but a lot of times offensive coordinators look what the athlete can do on the field. And he has the most unique skill set in the class in terms of what he can do with the ball in his hands. And he's going to have to be weaponized by an offensive coordinator that is creative and can use his skill set to the team's best advantage. So I think I agree with you 100%, and landing spot is going to be so super important for him as a player. But I think players like him don't come around very often in terms of what they can do at all three levels and the versatility they bring to the table and the dominant stretches of play that they had at the collegiate level. I'll be interested to see what he can do, and Bryan Edwards as well. I think Edwards is an intriguing prospect, and I was extremely high on him even before the injury, still am. But I'm happy to talk about both those guys at length, but both of them are great players, and hopefully they clear up some of the injury concerns in the near future.
See,
yeah, I think I think in super flex leagues, both of these guys are like would be awesome to get in like an early third.
The thing with Chenault though is the opposite, I think, is happening. Chenault has the following. A lot of people like Chenault a lot, and I think he is still going to be an early second round pick. Just because he's got that Devy name recognition to where people aren't going to quit him because they love him. And that's going to be an issue. I think he's going to be way overdrafted. If he's a third-round pick, yeah, I mean, sure, give me Chenault, just the upside. But I'm not. My first and second round picks, I like to go with the people I feel are a surefire hit. Players that I know, you know, if I get a wide receiver 3 in the second round, give me that. But if the upside picks are the 3rd and 4th rounds, and Chenault is a pure upside pick in my eyes.
Interesting.
I like that.
Because I was going to call you over drafting Irv Smith in the 1st in UDPL, but that's another story. All right, so let's go to Zach Moss. He pulled his hamstring. He finished his drills, and he's going to run again on Pro Day, which is coming up on March 26th. Any of you guys have any thoughts on Zach Moss? I know he's kind of a polarizing player. A lot of people like him, and a lot of people don't.
You guys are talking about players I don't like.
Tyler's out on Zach Moss.
Yeah, so Tyler, why don't you talk a little bit about why you're out on Zach Moss, and if anyone has an opposite opinion, feel free to chime in.
I just, once again, the tape I watched, I was just not impressed. I made the joke that Zach Moss has Benny Snell's picture in his locker. And that is my comp for him. I mean, he's Benny Snell, college production galore, just not an uber athlete, just a battering ram type player. I think he's
like a Jordan Howard type.
I think he's more agile than Benny Snell, but not by much. But he's got a spot in the NFL. He's going to be a first and second down back for a team, maybe their second running back. But I'm out. I mean, I've got him ranked higher than Chenault at the moment, but I've got him at 19, while other people probably have him a fringe first rounder.
Interesting.
Very interesting. Any other opinions on Zach Moss before we move on to some winners?
Yeah, he didn't score very well athletically, but he did have that hamstring pull.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. Moss is tough because going into the combine, you knew he wasn't going to test well athletically. If you watch his tape, he has, below average top end speed, below average acceleration capabilities. So physically, he's very limited coming to the NFL. So I think he's going to be a guy. The Benny Snell comp's interesting to me because I kind of see him as maybe a Benny Snell plus.
Yeah.
And not plus a lot, but he's gonna be a guy that I think he's really good in, like a really good inside runner, like one of the best inside runners in the class, actually, in my opinion, and does a great job around the goal line. And I think his role is gonna be very specific when he gets to the NFL.
Sure.
And if he gets in a really good offensive system that could potentially, use him around the goal line, in more of a inside runner type, like a Jordan Howard type role with him in Philadelphia, I think he'd be fine there. Philadelphia actually thinking about it would be a really good spot for him. Pairing him with Miles Sanders, who has more of that dynamic skill set, would be interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I think his value is going to be solely dependent on how efficient the offense he goes into is.
I mean,
So I've got a great transition here, Tyler. Don't mess it up.
All right.
So Angela said Zach Moss, like we didn't expect him to test well athletically, right? Just based on the tape. I would say the same when we talk about some of the winners from the combine is I didn't expect A.J. Dillon to test this well. Like I thought he was like, I think he's a good player, but I didn't think he was going to run a 4.53 at 247 pounds and be the top in the vertical at 41 inch and the broad at 131. That was crazy to me because, he's a local guy. Like I live an hour from Boston and I've seen AJ Dillon play in person and I always came away like I like the player, but I did not think athletically he would test this well. Like his stock he was kind of an afterthought, I think. Some people knew about him in Devy because he was kind of he was the bell cow at Boston College. But when everyone was talking about like running backs, like not many people mentioned AJ Dillon as a top 6 or 7 option really. And I think he just put his name into the hat. Now depending on where he lands and where he gets drafted, like, I think he's someone to keep an eye on because we're forgetting, like, how good he was. And now he's hey, look at me. I'm athletic, too. Like, over here, which was probably the biggest surprise for me at the running back position at the combine. So, Tim, you got any thoughts on A.J. Dillon? And did this completely blow you away that he tested this well?
Yeah, 100%. 5'11", 247. Best BMI in the class,
thick.
If you're considering the big. he is a thick, thick man. Low 4.5s is what he ran. Everything's on my spreadsheet here in the green other than the 3 cone, but the three cone isn't necessarily the thing we look for at the running back position.
Not a lot of running backs ran a good three cone.
Insert Dalvin Cook here.
There hardly any running backs ran a good three cone. And you've been seeing that a lot the past couple of years.
There was no James Booby Williams this year.
Nope.
Yeah. Yeah, the best three cone out of the running backs that ran was a 6.95. So just under that 7 second threshold that we really, really like to see out of the receivers. But 7.19, still not a bad three cone. His speed scores, burst scores, height adjusted speed scores, all really, really good top notch marks in the class. So for a guy at, you know, below 6 foot, weighing almost 250 pounds, and you have to imagine he had to have cut down. You know, below 250 for this. This is pretty incredible.
He Shocker
very
to
athletic
me.
For completely.
He's huge. I mean,
So imagine a 250, 255 pound man that runs a 4.5 that gets to that second level, and you're that, you know, 220 pound safety. You're left in the open field with this guy.
I think in a perfect world, we would love to see the Titans let Derrick Henry walk and just draft AJ Dillon and be like,
just
okay,
insert here. This is what you do.
He legit
watch this film run like
he
that.
He legit is a shorter but thicker version of Derrick. Like his thighs are, I swear, people in
suits.
He's a fast
LeGarrette Blount.
Like there's people inside of his legs working his legs. That's how big his legs are. Like they're huge. Yeah.
He thick with two C's.
Yeah, more than twos. I mean that.
All right, we'll give him three.
I'd keep going.
We'll give him three. So let's keep it with the running back talk. Another surprise to me, Jonathan Taylor, who a lot of people have as RB1 in this class. 4.39 40, the fastest at the running back position.
That didn't shock me.
I was kind of surprised by that. I was like, oh wow. So did Jonathan Taylor solidify himself pre-landing spot as your 101, Angelo?
Yeah, I mean, to me, 100%. I mean, okay. he was my 101 coming in, and he's my 101 going out.
He was great on Home Improvement. I mean, awesome.
That was actually a really good show, by the way.
That's such a good show.
I did.
It was such a good show. You used to watch that in The Simpsons back-to-back. Solid hour. But no, man, I mean, Jonathan Taylor going into the combine, we knew what he had speed-wise, in my opinion. I mean, he's a 10-40, 900-meter guy in high school, showed that speed on tape on more than one occasion. And I think it's his nuanced approach to the position that really gets me excited. And I think he's a guy that I compared to a lot like Nick Chubb. He has extremely good top-end speed. But he's a really good between the tackles runner. He takes contact well. He has really good vision. And I think he did solidify himself as the 101 of running backs. I don't know if it depends on if you're in super flex or not.
Oh, sure.
But I think to me, he's probably going to be the first back off the board. Because, you know, guys who weigh 230 pounds almost don't run 4.39 every day. And I'm not a big combine guy myself. I like watching the interviews and stuff more than the 40s, and I like watching the technique and all that. But
yeah,
for me, it's more so just either confirming things or telling me I have to go back and watch and learn, you know, what did I miss? And with AJ Dillon, I was blown away by his performance. And I did not think he would test remotely as well.
The jump got me.
The jump's what got me at almost 250.
It's because of those huge thighs, man.
He has two people jumping for him.
I mean, oh my, yeah.
He's the power of three people.
Oh, for real. But yeah, he was absolutely shocking. But I'm not a big AJ Dillon fan. I think he's just super limited as an athlete.
Ding, 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 ding. He's my Barnes. Yeah, remember what's his Barnes from last
Matt
year?
Barnes.
Oh yeah,
no,
yeah.
Is it Matt
Alex Barnes last
Alex
year?
Alex
right?
Barnes with Tennessee. Yeah.
Yeah, remember him last year and how he just blew up and people were like, oh man, he's a second rounder.
Yeah, but the difference with Barnes, like Dillon has at least the production.
He does have good production.
Barnes wasn't like a super productive player at Kansas State.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you there. I mean, he's a good player. I just think the hype is going to be out of control after the NFL Combine, and he just looks. You know, like Derrick Henry when he runs, like for a guy his size, like he looks good running in the open field. Mm-hmm. Like he's very hard to catch.
Very photographic.
I don't see AJ Dillon in that light. He doesn't have the feet that Henry does. And he looks like he's his size. He looks like he's 250 pounds.
Yeah, I completely agree with the tape of AJ Dillon. I mean, Tim, we score, and running backs are what I hit for scores, and A.J. Dillon scored bad because his tape, he looked like when he was in the open field, he was running in quicksand. Like, that was A.J. Dillon. Like you said, he looked like he was running at 250-plus pounds.
Mm-hmm. So let's move it on to a guy that can run super fast. That's Henry Ruggs. You know, he was the hype was, is he going to beat John Ross's 40 time? Well, update, he did not. But he only missed it by a half a second. So he ran a 4.27 official 40. The thing I was impressed with, he was second in the vertical at 42 inches. Now, I know a lot of people really like Ruggs. My concern with Ruggs is that if you look at the top 10 guys at the wide receiver position that have run the fastest 40s, none of them have been fantasy relevant.
Mm-hmm. And how do you clean it with
Weinstein? Or
had over 1,000
yards receiving. You go to the store and you buy new Ruggs.
You can't do that here. You draft him. You're stuck with him.
I mean, you can trade him for, you know, carpet cleaner.
Yeah, but then you got no rug to clean.
Well, there has to be another player with rugs, so you can do a rugs for rugs replacement.
That's a lot of
rugs. We might just have to wait a while.
A lot of rugs.
Man, they might not overlap. That's true. There's a lot of rugs. So, Tyler, where do you have Henry Ruggs ranked? Do you have him as a first rounder?
I, in a standard one quarterback league, I have him at 8. So he's a first round pick for me.
Tim, you got him in the same area, or are you a little bit lower on Mr.
I am
Ruggs?
One spot lower. I have him at 7 right now. I like his speed, obviously, but he did test out well in the other athletic events, the vertical, the broad jump, he scored well. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that means his speed score, his burst, and his height-adjusted speed are all going
to
be good.
I want you to try to guess what is his best trait. What did he do in Alabama that is his best trait?
What did he do in Alabama that's his best
trait? What is something he accomplished in Alabama that is his best trait?
Does he have some sort of school
record?
He
did not drop a ball last year.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. They did say that during the broadcast, too.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So apparently, I mean, because, yeah, that's what they were bringing up. They were talking about how these speed guys are known for their lack of hands. When
like Will Fuller?
Fast.
Whoa,
yes.
Whoa.
Will Fuller. Whoa.
Baby hands.
But they talked about how
Joe Burrow
did not
hands.
Drop a ball all last season while at the University of Alabama. So they're talking about having the ability to catch the ball while still being able to move that fast is a desirable trait. So, you know, obviously speed kills with the way the Chiefs are playing this arms race of speed. I'm assuming teams will fall in love with Henry Ruggs and that speed, you know, option.
He'll be a top 15 pick.
Yeah.
I bet.
So some teams definitely gonna fall in love with him and make him very well paid. That's
I think the wind just whispered Philadelphia.
Oh my God, that would be a dream landing spot.
Yeah. I think I just heard it.
And Buffalo, I would like, but I don't think they got a chance.
Yeah, I think with John Brown there, I don't think they'd
a big arm quarterback, I think, would be best for Henry Ruggs.
Why draft Henry Ruggs when you have Robert Foster? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Remember that guy? We already have a speedy Alabama receiver. God, he was in the doghouse all year last year. Ugh, woof. So, Tyler, I'm going to go with you on this next one. I hate to give you like back-to-back talking points because people just frankly kind of get bored. But let's talk a little bit about Chase Claypool because he's from, you know, the university that you tend to root for. He's a Notre Dame guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I thought so. So I'm going to default to you because it's the nice thing to do. But he ran a 4.42 40 at 238 pounds, 19 on the bench press, 40 and a half inch vertical, coming away as one of the big winners because I think he wasn't really on people's radar at all. And here comes Chase Claypool. So, Tyler, tell me a little bit about Mr. Claypool, the son of Les Claypool, the singer from Primus. That is not true. Don't use that.
So
I made it up. So, Tyler, talk to me about Chase.
So, with Claypool, I actually liked him. I had him in some Devy leagues before I moved on from them. But Claypool, it's funny. When I watched him when Miles Boykin and him were on the same team, I legit thought Claypool was a tight end. I was like, nice, another Notre Dame tight end coming in.
He's what, 6'4"?
Yeah, he's six.
He's built like Darren Waller a little bit.
He's 238, and he ran a 4.42. Like, I saw a 4.5 because I watched Claypool, you know, on Saturdays. I watched a good amount of them. And I like the way he high-pointed the ball, big receiver. I did not see this coming. Like, I like the guy. I did not see this coming. And my favorite thing that I hope happens is they use him as a move tight end. I know he wants to play receiver, but man, if you were a move tight end, you could go anywhere on the field. And I mean, you're going to be a quarterback's best friend. And I think that would be the best position for him. I have him at 22 at the moment. I had him in like 36 before the combine and with the measurables. And now he's probably going to be, my guess is,
the Notre Dame bias.
Yeah, of course. But I honestly think he's going to be a third round pick in the NFL draft.
I could see third or fourth.
Yeah.
But I think his draft stock went up in both spots, in rookie drafts and in the NFL.
Yeah, you put another 10 pounds on this kid, he's almost at 250 at that point. He's probably going to slow down to like that 4.5
4.47 or so, yeah.
You know, that's going to be fine because he's going to be able to outrun most linebackers.
Not Isaiah Simmons.
Oh, what was his name?
Isaiah Simmons.
Yeah, I was going to say Isaiah Simmons. Yeah. Woo.
Oh, God.
He ain't outrunning Deion Jones or Devin White either.
No, that's Deion Jones, the GOAT.
Here nor there. So let's talk a little bit about Justin Jefferson. I came away super impressed with Justin Jefferson's combine. He ran a 4.43 40, a really nice broad jump. Probably ran one of the smoothest gauntlet drills that I saw. Yeah. So I think Justin Jefferson, you know, again, depending on landing spot in the draft, I think he's going to be a first or second round pick for a team. He's going to be one of the, I think he's going to be one of those, you know, top six, five or six receivers off the board.
Green Bay.
He's got the college production. He looked great. And I think he kind of maybe locked himself into first round pick territory, in the rookie draft. So I'm going to go to Tyler because he has his ranks. So Tyler, where do you have Double J ranked? And I'm not talking Jeff Jarrett.
I have him at 9, right behind Ruggs. Yeah. I mean, I think he fits the NFL. He's a good route runner. He's got good hands. Mm-hmm. He can high point the ball. He just does everything good. Like he doesn't pop out and be like, wow, he's amazing.
Tyler, he does everything well. Let's try to use some proper English on this podcast and class it up a little bit. Does everything.
You know what? I have him at 9, Doug.
Let's move on to Angelo because he's much better spoken than Tyler.
Jesus. Oh man. I mean, I like Justin Jefferson a lot. I liked him before the combine. I think he kind of fits what the NFL wants, the slot receiver.
Okay, he's just copying everything I said, except better English. And
his English is gooder.
It's way gooder.
It's definitely gooder. But no, man, I think he is what the NFL wants the modern-day slot receiver to kind of be. Mm-hmm. And he has the size. He's extremely good in short areas. And I think he's going to be a guy who's a late first-round pick. I think he's in that Green Bay territory, which would be a phenomenal landing spot for him, by the way.
Yeah, it's comps Devontae Adams.
The new but I mean that'd be a great. I mean,
insert Spider-Man meme here.
Learning from Devontae Adams would be a great experience for him and Aaron Rodgers and that whole offense. But I think he's interesting because I don't think anyone expected him to time that fast in the 40, and test out so well. But he's such a smooth athlete that I think he can be moved around the field a little bit as well. But I think he kind of solidified himself as that late first round, early second round pick.
What if he goes to the Chiefs? I mean, he kind of fits what they need. If Sammy...
Oh, that'd be disgusting.
If Sammy...
That'd be stupid.
Yeah, let Sammy go and get Justin Jefferson.
He's a better Sammy
Doug,
Watkins.
I'm actually the high guy on the site on Justin Jefferson. I have him at 6. I was really high on him before the combine, and this just kind of solidified things for me. Scored well in all the athletic testing. Not he didn't win any of the individual, you know, scoring drills, but the on the field drills, the way he was catching the ball, the gauntlet, just he looks smooth. He looks clean. He attacks the ball with his hands. He's got strong hands. He wins the catch at the catch point. He can go up and get the ball. And you know, like Angelo said, 6'1", 202. he's built to play the slot in this league, and a lot of teams are really, really going to like him if they were happen to get him on their team.
Yeah, I think a lot of teams are going to like the following player that we dubbed as a winner too. It's Jalen Reagor. He ran a little slower than I think some people expected because, you know, the thing about combine week was slow. Everyone, I know, but everyone in combine week is like, oh, I'm going to run a 4.3. Like, yeah. It's
Let's
crazy,
just blame
right?
Ray. So he runs Ray GQ. Ray is to blame for all the Reagor hype. I mean, saying he's going to run in the 4.2, 4.3s. I mean, Ray, I like you, but man, you overhype this man. Rightfully.
He's got an Edelman Brady type crush on Jalen Reagor. Yeah. So 4.47 40 at 206, good.
That's a
right?
5.10 though.
Yeah, he's second in the vert, second in the broad. So obviously, clearly athletic. So
that
Tim
three cone at 7.3 though, it's concerning. Doesn't show fluidity in the hips.
Sure.
Not able
so
to make
Tim,
cuts and maintain
so
speed.
Tim, do you have him? Where do you have him ranked? Do you have him fringe first round in that ballpark?
Where do I have Reagor? I have Reagor just outside the first round at 13 right now.
Okay.
I like him. Don't love him.
That's fair.
You know,
Angela, what do you think about Reagor?
I love him, don't like him.
Okay, I mean, sentiment.
I have Reagor as my honestly, he's my wide receiver three. I have him right behind Judy, and I think he's a really unique player because the production at TCU was extremely spotty. And most of that was because of quarterback play.
It was bad. I mean, the quarterback, yeah.
And watch it for 10 minutes, you're going to want to pull your hair out.
And cringe.
I mean, there was so many times when there's constant overthrows.
It's like watching Jake Fromm at the combine.
Yeah, that was also not good. that was also not good.
I cringed. I was like, ooh.
And I like Fromm, too. I like Jake Fromm. He's a serviceable quarterback, and he just his
stuff. So I also want to bring up Eason was also – there's a couple throws where I'm like, oh, God.
We have a losers section coming up. Table it. We're going to get there. Put a pin in it. We'll come back to it. What movie, Tyler? What's that from?
I don't know. It's probably
you
some
have
like –
kids? It's from Bolt. There you
that's,
go.
Unfair. I've only seen that like once or twice.
It's a good movie. The Sonic Bark, it's great. Anyway, let's not get off on too much of a tangent. So Reagor, so you guys kind of like both like him, but you don't love him. Gotcha.
I love him, don't like
him. I have him at 10.
I mean, I see the concerns. I mean, I 100% see the concerns. The production profile wasn't there. His combine was spotty. But, I mean, if you watch him on the field of play, man, he's one of the fastest players in college football.
In the Big 12.
I mean,
yeah, I was going to say. The big.
I saw a few people comp him to, like, Chris Godwin. Is that like
that's interesting?
I don't know.
I saw some people say that. I'm not saying that's my opinion. I was just that kind of peaked.
I see more Justin Jefferson, Chris Godwin.
Okay,
that's fair.
That's fair. Yeah.
All right. So let's move on to the tight end position. We've got a couple of winners here. The first one was Albert Okwuegbunam.
See, I don't think so. I'm. Yeah.
He only ran the 40. And he did a 4.49
Albert
at almost 260
O did exactly what he needed to do because yeah. he knew that he had speed to beat the rest of his class, but the rest of it probably wasn't going to be, you know, great.
His stock alone shot up just because of
just
the 40.
Because
his
40,
tape
yeah.
is like, but he's also a Devy guy. Like, this guy's name has been around for a couple of years in the Devy circle.
He's
going
to be
so.
A first, second round NFL pick a year ago, and then he went back to college and was absolutely horrible. Like,
well, I mean, his quarterback went to Denver.
Yeah. Maybe his quarterback made him because Drew Lock is good.
he dances like the whitest of white people. By
yeah,
the
way. Which is what he should do.
You got to have some rhythm. So anyway, the second quarterback is Adam Trautman, who had an outstanding Senior Bowl week. He was the top in the three cone at 6.78, and he also had a 4.27 shuttle, both very, very good times. So I think he upped his stock quite a bit. I know a lot of people really like Trautman. He's from a small school.
He did better than Bassman.
Jesus. Fish jokes, everybody.
Fish jokes.
Oh, boy. I'm going to let that one breathe for a second so I can just kind of process.
Only if it's underwater. Okay.
That's right. So Trautman, unless they grow legs and start to walk on land. So Trautman, a great Senior Bowl week. Does anyone have any thoughts on the Trautman?
I mean,
half man, half
he'll
trout.
Probably be a third, fourth rounder in the area where Dawson Knox went last year. Oh, so
my heart just flooded.
But I mean, honestly, every tight end in this class, I'm going to go back to the well from last year and go cheap on an Irv Smith, Dawson Knox, Josh Oliver. I'm going to go for one of those guys instead of this class, except for Cole Clement, who I think is a huge winner at 6'6", and he ran a 4.7, maybe just under, and just killed on the field drills. I mean, it's that
drag when you're that tall, it takes off like a good
And honestly, like, he's just a really good overall tight end. Like, everybody said, oh, he's Jason Witten in 2012. Well, Jason Witten was pretty good in 2012, so.
Well, that's when he was 40.
In his prime.
Yeah.
That's when he had the white New Balances just came out.
Yeah.
Dead runner extraordinaire. So what do we got for losers? I'm going to go to Angelo first. If you've got any, let me know who didn't do themselves any favors at the combine.
My biggest one was Salvon Ahmed. I think
he's
a guy that the Washington back. I think when you watch him on tape, man, I like a lot of people thought he was going under 4.4. So there was some speculation that he would go under 4.35, but I mean, he ran, I think it was a 4.62.
Yeah, it was not good.
And I'm not a big 40 guy. Like, it's great.
It's not a make or break thing for me either.
It's not. But for a guy like that, who his primary trait and primary attribute
at
for
197
success,
he needs to run
faster
than 4.62.
I mean, his slow. Primary attribute for success is speed. And if you show NFL evaluators on that stage, I mean, the NFL Combine's the biggest job interview and the most public job interview in the world. And if you can't prepare for that, and like you show that poorly, that, I mean, his stock took a drastic hit. I mean, he was a guy I thought would probably go in at the earliest in the like late fourth round, but now he's a guy that might go in draft.
Yeah,
and especially because running back, there's just so many GD running backs.
It's a deep back. It's a deep back, and speed was the only trait that he really had that could separate him from others in this class. Mm-hmm. And now that there are question marks surrounding his only good primary trait, I mean, I don't know how he gets drafted any higher than the seventh round.
Yeah. Anybody else on your loser list?
I had my other loser. I think the only other one I had was Chenault, actually.
Okay.
And it was because of the injury, not because of. I think he ran the. He shouldn't have ran the 40.
In a t-shirt, and let alone. I mean,
let alone. And if you watch the 40 for him, he runs it, and then. Like the first half of it, and then he comes back and has to do it again.
Yeah, he definitely tweaked something.
And then he runs it, and then you could tell he wasn't right going into the combine. I mean, he had a sports hernia for the whole season. For like, not whole season, but since week 8, I think it was week 8 or so on, and decided to not get it repaired. Mm-hmm. And didn't want surgery, wanted to participate in the combine. But I think that drastically hurt his stock, because the biggest thing for him was he looks really good on film in the open field, and he was projected to run the 4.4s and runs close to 4.6. I mean, injury or not, like that's a mean you take a hit, and I think he did just that. And with the injury news coming out with Rappaport after the combine of him actually having a sports hernia and needs about 8 weeks to recover, that's big for a guy who's had this is third surgery in like 16 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's a big deal. And that means a lot to me, too, because I like him as a player. I love the talent. I think he could be a really good player in the NFL for a long time. But the injury question marks made me think of Kevin White. And being a Bears fan, that's definitely not a good thing.
It's like a PTSD moment.
Oh, definitely is.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm going to go to Tyler next. Who you got as a wicked loser, kid?
Brandon Ayuk. I mean, he ran the 4.5s. People thought he'd run 4.3. He is... On tape, what I saw, he is a guy that depends on speed. And when you don't have it in the combine, and, I mean, that's your main trait that people think you have, you're going to drop. I mean, he was talked about in the NFL first round before the combine.
Consistently, when a lot of mocks. Yeah,
yeah, and I think he probably dropped out of the first, possibly second round. And he'll probably be an NFL third rounder in the Deontay Johnson type mold. But, I mean, I I was, yeah, just not impressed.
Okay. For one, for me, it was Jake Fromm. Like, just cringeworthy. Like, when they were showing, they were throwing, like, the short slant, and he was just airmailing, and it was just, and it might have been, maybe it was nerves.
Do you think he's trying
like,
too
Fromm's
hard to
tape
gun
isn't
it?
Bad at all.
Like, just trying to show the arm.
I thought I saw in a couple passes, he was really just trying to rifle things in there, and it's like, dude, just.
He was trying, it was almost like a case of trying too hard and jitters and nerves, which is kind of surprising, because he played in a national championship.
And then you got Jacob Eason, who was literally just chucking everything.
Yeah.
You know what? So I didn't have any winners that I put in, but I would say one at the quarterback position was actually Jalen Hurts.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
I thought he looked.
Oh, he looked great.
Really, really good. And I think he solidified himself.
Him and Jordan Love.
I thought he solidified himself as a potential second round pick in the NFL. Like I could see that happening.
Oh,
with Hurts.
Because the league is such a copycat league that with what they saw New Orleans do, that. And what Baltimore's done?
He's got more passing skill than Lamar does.
He's got more passing skill than God. Not why am I blanking? The guy down in New Orleans.
Oh,
yeah.
Taysom Hill?
God, I have more passing skill than Taysom Hill, and I'm not even kidding. Like I was an awesome flag football quarterback.
I want to talk about another loser, and that is J.K. Dobbins. He's like the only big name running back that didn't.
Come on, bro, your time was up.
He didn't do anything. That was your guy, wasn't it?
You're skipping Tim.
Exactly. Yeah, I was going to bring him up because he didn't test at all.
Yeah.
And some of these guys that you didn't expect to test so well. I mean, Jonathan Taylor, we expected him to be speedy, but he tested well across the board. Right. When we see a guy like A.J. Dillon, that everybody's going to be like, oh, he's going to be big, he's going to be slow, and he comes in and just goes just bonkers in the athletic testing. You know, it just made people start to – it's one of those out of sight, out of mind things. Dobbins could have came in. He could have absolutely killed the combine potentially, but because he wasn't even a participant, nobody's even speaking his name, and that's not good this time of year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Another one, T. Higgins. In the conversation. T. Higgins, exact same reason.
He was resting, Tyler.
I love T. Higgins. I think he's going to be a riser. But, man, like, yeah, just the out of sight, out of mind. KJ Hamler, same reason. I really like Hamler. I just wish I think his was interrelated. I've got a lot of risers that I want to mention to the people before I just shut up. And that the Cam Akers, he's my number two overall player and one quarterback. I love that Deuce McAllister. Isn't that it? Deuce McAllister? Or the drill they did at the combine. That new drill is awesome, first of all. And Cam Akers killed it. Like he went in.
He crushed the drills. He did.
And he caught the ball so well. Like his first catch was a one-handed catch that was way out of place.
Yeah, that was slick.
I mean, Akers was the number one recruit in the nation for a reason in his draft class. Mm-hmm. He is so good, and he's still...
And he had good college production despite one of the worst offensive line in the nation.
I mean, I think the ghost,
Florida State for
the
multiple
ghost
years.
Of Fat Doug was a left tackle.
I definitely probably could have played... I would have been less of a turnstile than what they've had at left tackle over the last couple
of
years.
But yeah, I mean...
You know, here's me 6'4", 330. Yeah. I could have probably held my own for like at least a quarter or two.
But yeah, he is my biggest riser, I think. He went from 7 or 8, now he's at 2. I mean, I liked Akers. I worried a little bit that maybe the production was on him, but man, like the athlete in him showed out. My next riser is Donovan Peoples-Jones, who is, again, the number one receiving recruit in the nation his year. He's at 11 for me, and he jumped 44 and a half inches. That is nuts. How can you jump so high? Like
so much water.
It's almost 4 feet.
That's insane. Like he is super athletic. He ran very good. He reminds me of Allen Robinson and just the fact that it's almost like a Juju / Allen Robinson. And he reminds me of Juju because he returned punts for Michigan. And Shea Patterson is an absolutely horrible quarterback.
He's terrible.
Donovan Peoples-Jones is a huge riser for me. Ray, that's one we were both on. Keyshawn Vaughn, I thought, just stayed the course. Tim, that's your dude. Stayed the course. Mm-hmm. And I'll let you. My biggest one, Anthony McFarlane, ran a 4.45. showed the burst that I saw on tape. Love Anthony McFarlane. He's,
if he gets drafted by the Chiefs,
look out. I mean, he's going to be a first round pick in rookie drafts, and it's going to suck.
Oh, if he gets drafted by the Chiefs, yeah, for sure.
It's going to suck because I'm hoping to get him in the second.
I think that's an interesting one.
And then
if he goes to the Chiefs, he's going to be a top five.
Jordan Love looked amazing in the throwing drills. I mean,
15 minutes probably.
People are saying he's Patrick Mahomes light, a poor man's Pat Mahomes.
Did you see that Mel Kiper and Todd McShay had a bet? McShay bet Kiper that Love gets drafted ahead of Herbert.
How are you?
And if it does, it was a $5,000 bet.
Wow.
To charity.
I mean,
yeah.
I could see it.
McShay is all about that Love life.
I could see it. And Eno Benjamin, he ran a lot better than I thought. It was in the 4.5s. I thought he looked good in the on-the-field drills. He's also a Devy darling, per se. And then my last guy I'll talk about.
Are you sure it's the last one? Because you just keep talking.
Well, two. DJ Dallas, I thought, ran really well. He's my Corey Clement this year. I'm going to mark.
My favorite porn name of all the participants.
And also,
in the
last one. JJ Taylor at Arizona. 5'5", almost 200 pounds. Man, he looks smooth in the drills. He showed.
Did you just say he was 5'5"?
Yeah, he's 5'5" and some change. And he's almost 200 pounds. He
put him in my pocket.
He's such a jitterbug, and it's so fun to watch. His tape was like he was 6 foot, 215 pounds. Like, he didn't care about contact.
Was he like a Tariq? How tall is Tariq Cohen?
Oh, 5'6".
5'5", he ran a 4.6 though.
Yeah, but he.
Yeah. It's similar to Devin Singletary.
Yeah,
you know? It's that type of stuff.
That's
is, fair. I mean, running backs played in short areas and through.
So, Angel, you're a JJ Taylor fan.
I mean, I like him. I don't think he's, you know, it's going to be dependent on landing spots. This class is,
I mean,
so
he's
going to
be a fifth or sixth round pick, and he's going to be
so
a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be more of a weapon in the NFL. So, yeah, I completely agree.
Sure.
But I like him a lot.
Yeah, he definitely improved his stock.
Does anyone else want to ramble on before we close up?
Yeah, I never got a chance to do my losers because Tyler went on the call.
Yeah, so
right.
Tim, it was
but,
a complete
ramble on. Yeah, I wanted to bring up Antonio Golden Gandy. You know, he had a 7.33 three cone there, not the greatest of three cones. I thought that he looked like a small school player, honestly, at the combine. I know a lot of people were hyping him up. And then KJ Hill also didn't test great athletically. You would assume that Ohio State players would be able to come in and just, you know, they don't recruit scrubs. These guys are athletic monsters normally. But as far as the running backs go, I wanted to give out a shout out to Joshua Kelly out of UCLA. He scored very well in some of the athletic testing. I thought he looked okay in some of the drills. But yeah, you guys kind of hit on it. Well, Tyler kind of hit
can,
on like,
you can,
everybody
you can
else
piggyback
there.
Off a little bit. I mean, people want to know what your guys are too.
You know, I really liked, I liked how Herbert looked in the throwing drills. Jalen Hurts, was not expecting the combine he had. I thought he looked extremely good. I mentioned the deep touch on some of the deeper balls. Jordan Love, there's plenty of people out there saying that this guy's got all the tools. He's just got to put it together. Keyshawn Vaughn, I was hoping for a little bit more, but he didn't do anything to hurt himself. McFarlane, great speed at 4.4. He looked good in the drills. Trying to think. You know, Benjamin ran faster than I thought. Who's that kid from Appalachian State?
Evans.
Evans with a 4.41. There was some people on Twitter saying his stock was going up. Clyde Edwards out of LSU. He scored well. I didn't think he looked great in some of the drills, though. And
a lot of people
he
said
looked
that.
A little off.
He looked a little stiff. He looked a little stiff in a lot of them.
He looked like Tyler talking about Notre Dame players.
Heyo.
And then as far as the tight end class goes, not in love with anybody in this class, but Bryson Hopkins out of Purdue, he scored well. I think if you can get him in late in your rookie drafts, fourth round type, you might be able to stash him away for a couple years.
That dart throw.
Turn into something for you.
So, Angela, only to keep it fair, I'm going to give you the opportunity to express any feelings you had, whether good or bad, about anyone that we haven't talked about or anyone that you have strong feelings for.
Oh, man. I think a riser that I think some people aren't realizing because he, I guess, played a different position at the combine
Antonio Gibson?
Antonio Gibson.
Yes. I was waiting for someone to talk about Antonio Gibson.
A heck of a combine, man. And I think 4.39 at his, I mean, I think he was about 6 feet 228. I mean, that's a big guy. I mean, and
great
we're
BMI
talking
for
about
receiver position.
And I think he's going to play running back at the NFL level. Cuz I looked at the receiver drills and watched him. Didn't look good. I don't think he has the movement skill in the open field to be a receiver and to consistently win one-on-one engagements, but I think he could be carve out a pretty nice role as a running back in the NFL. But yeah, I think he improved his stock a lot, and I think he's going to be a guy, and this comp is thrown around all the time when you get
Caleb
a guy like
Blush.
Him, Cordarrelle Patterson.
what about David Johnson? Whoa.
I heard the David Johnson one too, but Cordarrelle Patterson. A guy who's kind of that hybrid who doesn't really have a home.
So Laviska Shenault.
Gibson. Oh, don't tell me that.
Fine. Aren't they the same size? 6'2", 228.
I think so, but one produced and one didn't.
I mean, one's healthy.
that is true. That we know of. But no, I like Gibson a lot. I think he had a really good combine. Michael Pittman Jr. as well.
Oh yeah, I think he have a good combine.
I think he's just super super smooth receiver.
I owned his dad in fantasy too. Biggest arms at the running back position I've ever seen.
Well, Robert Turbin.
He was like the David Boston of running backs.
I agree, dude. His dad was. His dad was huge. I think he had like a 100 target season too, which is strange.
Yeah, he was a fun player back in the day.
His dad was good, but Michael Pittman Jr. had a great combine. Extremely smooth receiver. I think he definitely elevated his stock. And that middle tier of receivers this year, besides the upper echelon of the class, is extremely interesting to me. There's so many different guys in terms of their skill set that can help out NFL teams.
So much value in super flex leagues.
Yes.
Oh, 100%. I mean, you're going to have guys in the third and fourth round that are going to be absolute gems.
You'll be able to get Shenault in the fourth.
He might go undrafted in dynasty drafts.
Hey, the way you're talking, he's going to be on waivers week two. So.
Oh, his name's Laviska? What's that?
Jesus.
I'm just here for the hate.
No, just hey, when Hamler's healthy and Penn State has a pro day, just remember what Penn State players have been doing in the past few combines.
Sure.
That athletic trainer up
Troy
there.
Troy Apke.
He gets these boys ready to light this thing on fire. So expect the KJ Hamler hype to be coming, because if he does what, you know, other Penn Staters have done at pro days and
his creatine in the water.
That's a 4.3 receiver that is going to burn.
So yeah, I expect him to put up very good athletic testing numbers at that pro day. So just expect that hype to come.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you, boys. That was some good closure. First, we got some winners, some losers, some potpourri. We had Tyler talking for an extended period of time, which we always love. So Angela, I'm going to give the stage to you. Tell us one more time where we can find you. Just give us some closing thoughts, and then we'll wrap this thing up and go home.
Yeah, I think in general, this is probably the most fun I've had with the pre-draft process in terms of evaluating prospects. This is an extremely deep
class. I thought you were going to say podcast,
I was kind of expecting that too.
It's a deep podcast. With you
three. The podcast is okay. The draft, though, awesome.
That's the most fun I had on a podcast. I was like, yes, it's happening. Angelo.
Oh, but no, I had a great time, though. I appreciate you guys having me on again, and you can find me at Angelo_FF. Angelo FF and at Angelo_fantasy.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us. I had a blast. I know there was a lot of ripping on Tyler today. So Tyler, I kind of apologize, but not really. I live in New England, and we're savage.
Don't.
We're not nice like you folks.
That's
in the
how you
US.
I'm tough. Love. I'm tough. I'll just cry about it later, but I mean, I'm tough.
Yeah. That's true. You may cuss me out after the podcast, and it's fine. Like, I'm a big boy. I can handle it. So that's going to do it for Dynasty Happy Hour this week. I've been your host, Doug Eddy, Tyler Gunther, Tim Keller, and Angelo. We'll see you next week on the Happy Hour. Oh, peace out, fam.
The That's all the time we have for Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Doug at DaFantasyFather, Tim at DHH underscore Tim, Tyler at DHH underscore Tyler. Check out DynastyHappyHour.com for rankings, articles, ADP, shirts, and so much more. Need a question answered on the show? Hit the guys up on Twitter at DynastyHHPod, on the contact link on the site, or by email. DHH at DynastyHappyHour.com. Music is brought to you by the Fantasy Hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.